The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Coming to you from the heart of Silicon Valley,
this is CUDA Confidential,
the official podcast of the San Jose Barracuda, AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks. Now, here's your host, Nick Nolenberger.
Welcome back to CUDA Confidential, the official podcast of the San Jose Barracuda. I'm Nick Nolenberger, the team's play-by-play voice. In this episode, forward Donovan Hoole joins the show to talk about his first pro season, his new two-year extension signed this summer, and much more. With that, here's my conversation with Donovan Hoole. Welcome back to CUDA Confidential. We are very pleased to be joined by Barracuda forward Donovan Hoole. Donnie, first and foremost, how's the offseason treating you?
Good. It's going great. It's good to be back home enjoying the summer. Family, friends, everything. So it's really good.
So back in Quebec, I assume, for the summertime.
Yeah, Montreal.
So what does the summer look like for you? Training, trying to get away from the game a little bit, enjoying yourself?
Yeah, try to reset after the long season, get the body right, get feeling good again, obviously staying in the gym, getting as much up as possible. Obviously, I've had a little delay with that, but just try to take care of my body, working hard, make sure I'm ready to come back for this season. And at the same time, you know, enjoying time off and family, just because I'm away for so long during the summer, so it's always fun to meet back with them and enjoy as much time together as possible.
Well, you got your first real taste of pro hockey this year, a full season under your belt. It's a big difference between college and pro, because college, it's predominantly weekends. You go to school, you're not just focused on hockey all the time. You get to pro, it is hockey all the time. So now that you've got a year under your belt, what are your initial impressions of this new lifestyle that you're undertaking?
I love it. I'd say it's great. When my friends ask me, like, it's mostly my old teammates from college, like, what's the difference? I say, well, kind of have the same daily process, except this minus the school. So it's pretty good. I just get to play hockey and really focus on that and try to take care of my body as much as I can and enjoy my time off with the guys outside of the rink. It's been great, you know, just doing what I love.
I'm sure you enjoyed your time at Maine in terms of the social life and what it goes into a collegiate experience, because it's probably the funnest time of your life. But you're also a hockey junkie. I know you love the sport. You kind of live and breathe it. So when you're a pro, there's not much you have to worry about. You come to the rink, food is supplied for you, your schedule is all set out for you. You know what to expect. Is it cool in that sense that you're just 100% purely hockey now in your life?
Yeah, it's been a dream. So it's fun to be there and, you know, just coming to the rink, playing, seeing the guys, like you said, hello, coming to the rink every morning and just having fun with the guys. Obviously, try to keep it serious on the ice, getting better and focus on practice. But I'm one that always try to keep the mood up, the vibes high, you know. So every day for me, I come in at the rink smiling and just having a blast. And I think that's one of the really important things. I was just having fun with it. And then when it's over, I go back home and try to rest, and just I'm always ready for the next day.
Obviously, for those watching, we can tell you've got a sling on, if I'm not mistaken, right now. So dealing with a little bit of a end of the season injury, you didn't play near the end of the season. You did play in the playoffs and weren't penciled in initially. You get thrust in due to an illness, and I thought you played quite well. But was that something you were dealing with all year? Was it a shoulder situation? I know you have the sling you wear regularly, but was that something you kind of had to deal with, manage all year?
Yeah, it's something I had been dealing with for a while now. And, you know, I was able to play and manage pretty well in the gym and on the ice. So it wasn't hindering my performance too much, but it just didn't seem to get any better with doing the rehab and therapy and working out on it a lot. So we figured it was a pretty good time to take care of it so it didn't get worse in the long run.
We're talking to Donovan Hoole, Barracuda forward. Last year, just watching your evolution, and it wasn't just yourself. I kind of bunched you with Anthony Vincent and Lucas Van Robois and just these really hard-working, detailed players that not only worked your tail off night in and night out, but you also added an element of agitation. The opposition didn't enjoy playing you guys very often. Whether you were on that line or with other players, you just had that element to your game. How much pride do you take in being that type of player that your team loves having you on it, but the opposition hates playing against you?
Yeah, I think I take a lot of pride in it. I think it's really important, especially as a player, to know your role, know what you can do to be successful, not only for yourself, but for your team. And I think we kind of found that niche as a group of guys, especially when we started the season, all three of us together, was we really enjoyed doing that. And we knew that it was helping the team. And I think ultimately that's what we wanted to do the most, was helping the team. So we found what we could do together really well to have success. It ended up working, and I think it's what kept us in the lineup a lot of nights, us bringing that little spark and that extra edge and the work ethic and keeping it simple, playing hard and all playing the right way. And also all three of us together combined for a decent amount of goals, which is also fun. But I think we just tried to work as hard as possible and finish as much check as possible and just having fun and doing it for the guys that were playing with us.
You always hear that kind of phrase, if you will, playing the right way. In your mind, what is that? What is playing the right way?
I think it's staying on the right side of the puck, obviously, playing physical, not cheating offensively, not making plays at the wrong, like on the blue lines, that type of stuff. Just a steady player that knows when to and when to not make certain plays, being obviously responsible defensively, I think. Especially when you're playing like fourth line role, it's really important. And I think that's what builds trust in players. And that's why coaches, I think it's really important for coaches so they can trust the players. So that's how you get more ice time.
You started maybe on the fourth line, but at various points of the year, you were thrust into higher roles. And it seemed like wherever you were, you didn't really waver in terms of your identity. Is that something that was consciously in your mind, whether you're on the fourth line or even as high as the second line, that you've got to play a certain way and that you can't divvy away from that identity?
Yeah, I think it's really important for me. I did try to remind myself, don't try to switch the way I was playing, or don't be afraid to put the puck deep past the red line. Because if you get on the higher line, obviously you're going to get to play with guys that like to make more plays and hold off to the puck a bit more and slow it down. And some people, even myself, sometimes you feel like you want to adjust to that style of game so you can give them the puck. But ultimately, it doesn't really work well, at least for me, to try to switch my game up. So I always reminded myself to, you know, I know what makes me successful is to skate hard, my feet, play physical, put it past the D-man and go get it. So I always tried to remind myself that to play that way, even if I was put on a higher line. And I know I've had talks with the coaches as well sometimes to remind me to just stay to my identity and do what makes me who I am.
I don't know if you had a chance to watch much of the Stanley Cup final between the Oilers and the Panthers. Panthers now having won two Stanley Cups in a row. When you have that type of success, you have certain guys maybe taking on roles that they wouldn't otherwise take on a different team. I think of Brad Marchand as a perfect example, playing on that third line. This was a number one line guy throughout his career. When watching that series, do you take away anything from just the buy-in from a team like Florida and how so many guys take on these different roles?
Yeah, it's how do I put it? It's like inspiring, like seeing those guys again put into those roles and just like embracing it. And you hear them talk after games and the media is like how much love the guys had for each other, and they were just doing it for each other and they would sacrifice anything for each other. Like, that bond they had, seeing they were a family, like seeing that kind of stuff just shows that it's way more important than just the on ice, like skill part, but like the connection with the people and people's like identity of being able to put the teams first and your teammates first rather than just yourself and being mad because you're not on the first line or getting the points. These guys, I know for sure, I'd say that like the guys that were even probably in the stands were more happy than the guys that scored goals for them going into the finals and all that. So I think it's a lesson that pretty much every sports or athletes, even in any work lines, like it's a pretty good lesson.
It was announced, and I believe you signed the contract before that point, but it was announced right at the start of the offseason that you had signed for two more years with the Barracuda. And one of the realities when you're in the quote unquote AHL or minor leagues, is there isn't a lot of
comforts in terms of contracts and the length of contracts. They're usually 1 year. So how important was it for you to sign for 2 years? And can you walk us through how that came to be?
Yeah, I think I'm really glad that I got to sign for 2 extra years. Like, I love it here and I love the staff and everything that comes with it. So it was really nice for me to get that quote unquote stability. Let's say that I have 2 more years. I know that I'm going to be there and hopefully try to help the team as much as I can and make sure I stick with the team. So it's really good. I think it's my agent did a lot of the work dealing with the, like that kind of office discussions and negotiations. I didn't have to worry about it too much. Once I hear that there was a 2-year deal on the table, I was really excited and happy and grateful for it. And I went with it.
I know it's like school when you're a freshman in high school and maybe you don't know anybody and you walk into a classroom, there's some uncertainty. Maybe you're a little timid, you're quiet. But when you get a year under your belt, it's like a completely different world in year number two. And that's going to be your situation coming back here to San Jose. You know a lot of the faces, you know the training staff, you know the coaching staff. How big is that for a player that you can kind of skip that step, if you will, of the initiation process?
Yeah, it's huge. And it's also really exciting. You're coming back to some place you're familiar with the people, like you said. There's way less, I guess, internal stress and adaptation, and you don't really know where to go and where to put your stuff, or even coming to the rink for the first time, meeting so many people and new faces. It just brings a lot on your mind. I think coming back as my year now, when I'm going to come at the rink, like, I'll know everyone. It's just like, I'm going to only have to focus on putting in my work and doing the online spark in the gym, but I won't have to worry too much about all the external distractions that usually come with being a first year guy, making a first impression, meeting new people, and all that kind of stuff. I'm really glad that I'm coming back for my second year with all that past me and everything I've learned.
I feel like this past year, one of the keys to the success on the ice was that mix. You had that great group of veteran players like Baldurowski and Schultz and Sabourin and White and so on and so forth. And then the middle ground and then the young players. And everybody kind of played their role and were able to chip in. And plus, the team seemed really close. I want to ask about the veteran players, though, those guys who have been around for a long time. As a player who maybe age-wise, you're in your mid-20s, starting your professional career, you're not 19 years old like some of these other players, but you still can take a lot from a veteran. So what did you feel like maybe was the biggest thing you learned from those veteran players?
Yeah, like you said, like all these guys, they were like really helpful. Just, I can't really pinpoint a single thing, but just like seeing how they carried themselves on a daily basis at the rink, on the ice, off the ice, on the road, just like everything they did, you could see that they've been doing it a while. They had a routine, they stuck to it. Everything was all, they knew what they were doing. And it's really good to have these guys that you can just learn from. And they were all great players too. So like you look at them on the ice, a couple tips and tricks here and there, and they all had different strengths. And so it was really, really good to have those guys around, especially to help that they were like great friends that were, they didn't mind taking you out to dinner or whatnot, make you feel included and just teaching you a bunch of stuff along the way. So it was great.
All right, one last one for you before I let you go. As you reflect on your first season of pro, what is maybe the thing you're most proud of?
I think honestly, like making the team just as a starter and sticking it for the whole year, playing as much games as I did. Like I was really happy that I got to find my identity and stick it. We're going to play as many games as I did. Getting close to the players, the coaching staff. I think that's one thing I can say that I was really proud of. And then obviously as a team, I think we had a really good team. We played some really good games. We dropped some that we could have won, but it's part of the game. But I think ultimately we had a really good season, made the playoffs and had a tough series against Colorado. They were a good team, but I really think that things could go out in both ways and we could have went for a really good run. So it was a really good first year.
Well, Donnie, it was great to get to be around you this year. It was a lot of fun to watch you play and kind of see you evolve as well. Looking forward to seeing where you can take your game beyond this year. We wish you health and a great off season. Get healthy quick. But thank you again for the time and look forward to seeing you in the fall.
Thank you, me as well.
That'll do it for this episode of CUDA Confidential. A big thank you to Barracuda forward Donovan Houle. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss a future episode. And keep it tuned to all Barracuda social channels for content and news. Until next time, I'm Nick Nolenberger saying thanks for listening.